This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, May 4th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Progress on the Colorado, a promising outlook for fruit and nut exports, and DEMS eye curbs on China. Crowfoot, progress is being made on the Colorado. An assembly member on water took a crash course on 100 years of Colorado River issues this week with an informational meeting. Several speakers were optimistic about progress and negotiations with other basin states, especially California Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot. He wagged a finger at media for accentuating the conflicts and said productive conversations were happening with the lower basin states. Crowfoot was, quote, confident we will find a shared solution. Yet the secretary reiterated his disdain for a controversial proposal from six other states that would disproportionately cut California water. We have a great story to tell about California's water leadership, he said. An agreement 20 years ago shifted 500,000 acre feet from the Imperial Valley to San Diego. Crowfoot added that California water agencies were the only ones to step up recently with voluntary cuts and have already begun to implement a 400,000 acre foot reduction. Do nothing, he said. It's mutually assured destruction. Keep in mind, the snowpack along the Colorado has rebounded a bit, though not as much as California's. That, combined with an influx of federal dollars, prevented the system from collapsing this year and brought more time for ironing out both short- and long-term agreements. A promising future for fruit and nuts. Long hampered by high input costs, low prices, shipping issues, exchange rates, and more, fruit and tree nut growers are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. According to a new Rabo Research report, inputs are more affordable, the water outlook is flipped, and shipping logistics have improved. Prices for some nuts are also getting a much-needed lift. USDA investing $820 million to strengthen local food supply chains. USDA unveiled 12 new regional food business centers yesterday, funded with $400 million that will provide technical and financial assistance to strengthen local and regional food systems. That's along with another $420 million in a new resilient food systems infrastructure program to expand capacity and processing for non-meat and poultry products. The announcements build on the Biden administration's efforts to offer an alternative to the commercial production agriculture system. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said he's excited about the opportunity to create a more resilient food system and more revenue streams for producers. Vilsack stressed during a press conference yesterday that the commercial production agriculture system will continue to be needed to produce the food and fiber needed domestically and around the world. UC Agriculture and Natural Resources will support a center serving California as well as Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Torres Small hearing set. The Senate Ag Committee has scheduled a confirmation hearing next Wednesday for Xochitl Torres Small to be Deputy Ag Secretary. Torres Small, the former New Mexico representative who has been serving as USDA Undersecretary for Rural Development, would succeed Jill Bronow, who left USDA earlier this year. Also on the committee's agenda, A Senate Ag Subcommittee today is bringing in representatives from the banking and crop insurance sectors for a hearing on risk management and credit issues. The hearing comes amid concerns about the impact of rising interest rates on farmers and congressional interest in expanding the availability of crop insurance. Democrats push CFIS expansion. Senate Democrats are working on legislation aimed at increasing competition with China, which they hope will garner bipartisan support. The bill will include priorities from several committee chairs, including Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan. At a press conference yesterday with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Stabenow said she was particularly interested in giving the Ag Secretary and FDA Commissioner permanent spots on the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which reviews commercial transactions for national security implications. CFIS members already can and do invite the heads of USDA and FDA to help with the reviews of ag, food, and drug-related transactions. Becoming permanent members of the committee would require both agency heads to sign off on every transaction CFIS oversees, including those in sectors unrelated to ag or food. By the way, some senators, including John Tester, the Montana Democrat, have proposed using the CFIS to block China and other foreign adversaries from purchasing U.S. land and agriculture companies. Tester told AgriPulse about his proposal, the PASS Act. It's not going to be easy to get Treasury and CFIS to do this. He said, we're going to have to beat the crap out of them because I personally don't think they want to wade into this pool. It's going to be hard. Senate votes to block ESA listing. A Senate vote 50-48 yesterday to overturn the Biden administration's listing of the lesser prairie chicken under the Endangered Species Act. The vote was largely symbolic since the White House has threatened to veto the measure. In November, the Fish and Wildlife Service listed the southern population of the bird in eastern New Mexico and across the southwest Texas panhandle as endangered. The northern population, which includes southeastern Colorado, south central to western Kansas, western Oklahoma, and the northeast Texas panhandle, it's listed as threatened. Farmers and ranchers hope the listing, which took effect on March 27th. Kansas GOP Senator Roger Marshall said he started hunting the birds as a kid and that their populations in Kansas are still stable. The ESA listing, quote, ignored decades of conservation efforts, he said. But Senate Environment and Public Works Committee Chairman Tom Carper, the Delaware Democrat, said the resolution of disapproval undermines the ESA by violating, quote, the basic premise that the law should be applied based on science and not politics. Well, here's today's he said it. We are reconciling and trying to reevaluate for the first time in the history of the state what we need to keep within our watersheds to support them. That State Water Board Chair Joaquin Esquivel during a workshop yesterday on goals for dedicating more flows to fish in the San Joaquin River. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, May 4th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nellie.